If I was a betting man, and I'm not, you know, if you want to play the lottery and pay my school taxes, that's fine. But I'm not a betting man. But if I was a betting man, and I'm not, I would bet that you have never heard a sermon on this verse. Unless maybe you heard it from me. I think I'm the only person that knows this verse is in the Bible. Although it is, if you think about it, one of the most important verses in the Old Testament. Sharon is scrunching her nose. She's going, what have I missed in teaching Sunday school all this time? Well, it's in Genesis, the fourth chapter. You'll remember that Adam had two sons, Abel and Cain, and Cain killed Abel, and Cain was banished. And then Adam had and Eve had a third son, Seth, who was kind of to take the place of Abel. And then Seth had a son named Enosh. And it says, this is the most important part, the second sentence, and at that time, the people began to call on the name of the Lord. Now, some of your versions will say, begin to worship the Lord, and certainly that is part of it, but it's not all of it. Call on the name of the Lord is what's there, and in fact, it's even more than that, because you see, anytime we see in our modern versions, Lord capitalized, they have put that there for the name of God, which the old King James and the American Standard would sometimes put Jehovah. We have kind of come up with the name Yahweh, and we're not really sure. And because we're not really sure what that name is, I think we've lost a little something. But it's important to remember that they called on God by name, just like your mother might call you by your name, to identify this God from the other gods, okay? To say, this is the God that I'm talking about, he's got a name, and we call the name Lord. Okay, so before we get too much farther down that path, let's recap. This year, we're going to have lessons on the way. Jesus said, the way, the truth, and the life, no one comes to the Father except by me. And we talked about the fact that in the Old Testament, or in the New Testament, this is, particularly in Acts, this is the most common way that the church was named, the way. Saul went to Damascus to persecute those that were in the way. But we talked about how it's really more than just the church. Okay, it's a map path, it's a map, it's a choice, it's a goal, it's a group, it's a way of doing things, it's a way of living. So we're going to talk about various aspects of the way, and this time we're going to talk about calling on the name of the Lord or confession. Okay, now, confession. Okay, when I grew up, confession was kind of something that you did one time before you were baptized, and it is a beautiful thing. It is a beautiful thing for have a person who has come to the Lord stand up and confess. Okay, and we do it before they're baptized. Okay, it's kind of a step there, and it's a beautiful thing, and that's what we're talking about. But we're not talking about doing it once. Okay, you may have read of Dietrich Bonhoeffer, the Lutheran minister who was killed in the during World War II. And when the Nazis came to power in Germany, they did as many totalitarian regimes tried to do. They took control of the German church and produced a German church which was in line with their views. And some resisted this. And they, Bonhoeffer being the most well-known, and they produced or termed themselves, those that were not joining this church, that were having a separate church, the confessing church. And I like the way they put the ing on the end of the word, because a confessing church is not a church that just confesses once. A church is one that confesses over and over and over again, and that's what they did, and it cost them their lives. Okay, so that's what we're talking about today, confessing. Now, before we go on, I want to talk about the other kind of confession. Okay, because I don't get the idea that I'm against it. Okay, I'm for it. Okay. If we confess our sins, John writes, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And this is a very important part of Christianity, isn't it? Okay. If we say, John goes on to say, if we say we're out no sin, without sin, we're a liar. Okay. But I'm just not talking about that. Okay. We're talking about what we do confessing Christ. Now, it's interesting to note that in the Old Testament, and you'll also remember in these series of lessons, we're going back to the Old Testament and finding the continuity, the things which have been pretty much the same all the way to Jesus. And I think we can say Genesis 4, people began to call on the name of the Lord, is this continuity that we're talking about. And in the Old Testament, confession has two meanings. One is this. Okay, one is this, confessing our sins, but the other is confessing the name of the Lord. Daniel, in his famous prayer for forgiveness, you'll remember he's in captivity, and he prays for the forgiveness of the entire nation. And he says, O Lord, hear, O Lord, forgive. O Lord, pay attention and act. Delay not for your own sake, O my God, because your city and your people are called by your name. So in the Old Testament, these two things are combined. We're going to separate them out just a little bit. The proverb says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous man runs into it and is safe. Jesus said it this way in his confession. Jesus confessed. One of the meanings of confessing, by the way, is a criminal, isn't it? A criminal confesses to his crime. Well, Jesus wasn't a criminal, but he confessed. Okay, he said what was true. You'll remember that when he was before the high priest said to him, I adjure you by the living God. Jesus had kept quiet up until this point in his trial. Tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God. And Jesus said to him, you have said so. And we might think that's a little ambiguous till we read the next sentence. But I tell you, from now on you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power, and coming in the clouds on heaven. In other words, his answer is yes. Okay, I am the Son of God. And by the way, the next thing they say is, what more do we need? We've got the blasphemy, he's guilty, let's get on with this. Let's kill him, let's execute him. Let's get the Romans to do this. And it comes from Jesus' confession. More often we repeat Peter's confession, don't we? My guess is, before you were baptized, you said something very close to this. Jesus said, you remember, he's with his disciples, and says, what do men say that I am? Some say Elijah, some say this, and some say that. And he says, well, who do you say that I am? And Peter stands up and replies, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Okay, and that is what we would call the good confession. Because you see, confession in the New Testament concept. Confession in the Christian concept is not generalized, it is specific. Okay? You are the Christ. I know that before I was baptized, I said, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And I'll tell you that there is power in that statement. Okay? But I'll also tell you that there's danger in that statement. Just like there was power in Jesus' statement before the Sanhedrin, there was danger in Jesus' statement before the Sanhedrin because it got him killed. Okay. All right. Paul's confession, really from Ananias, saying, arise and be baptized, calling on the name of the Lord. So Paul was called to be baptized. He had met the Lord on Damascus, but he was called to do it while he called on the name of the Lord. And if you notice that I'm emphasizing this word name, just hold on. And Paul writes about this, because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, okay, not that somebody is Lord, okay, not even that God is Lord, if you confess that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. Confession is not something we think. Although it ought to be. Confession is something we say. Okay. When Enosh called on the name of the Lord, he would have done it out loud. When we confess before our baptism, we do it out loud. Okay. The confessing church, not the one that from World War II, but the one that should be now, that we should be part of, is willing to say this out loud. And then because there's a name in confession. I emphasize this word name. There's a name in confession, and the name is Jesus. Okay? This is what we're talking about when we confess. I was listening to a radio program the other day, and a Hindu called in and was asked about all the, what you and I might call idols, Shiva and Vishnu and all these people. And he said, well, and I think he's being a little revisionist, a little modernistic, we don't really pray to those idols. We just pray to them as a way for us to understand God. Okay? And it's unclear to me what he means by God, but it is clear to me that he doesn't mean the God whose name I know. And his son, the Christ, whose name I know. And a lot of people will tell you that God is everywhere. And he is, but he is not everywhere. You understand the difference there? God is everywhere, but that's not what he is. Okay? He has a name, and his son has a name, and that's what we confess. Confession has eternal consequences. Okay, and this is kind of the important part of it. And this is where I want to encourage you to realize that you need to kind of prepare for this. Okay? Okay? Jesus didn't always say that he was the Son of God. He evaded the question a lot. Okay? In fact, if you read in the Gospels, he really seems to evade the question more than he seems to answer it. But at some point, he answered it. Okay? And our confession, our confessing, our life of confession does not have to have t-shirts with John 3:16 on them. Okay? We don't have to go around playing sermons on an iPhone or an iPod for people to hear. That's not what we have to do. But at some point, we need to be willing to say, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is the Son of God. More importantly, we need to prepare that if push to shove comes to shove, and I don't know that it will, I'm a little worried, but I'm not that things are going to get tough for Christians, but I don't know whether that's a good thing or a bad thing, other than the Lord will turn it into a good thing somehow. Okay? We need to realize that we may be called on to make these statements. Okay? We may be put in a corner. You know, I don't think we need to call up the latest talk show or run down to the municipal auditorium or any place like that and stand up and say this. Sometimes it would be a good idea, wouldn't it? That's what's called preaching. Okay? But at some point, we have to be willing to say this. And that is going to take a little preparation. Okay? It just is. Okay? Because we all have within us this idea that I want to survive. Okay? I don't want bad things to happen to me. I don't want to be hurt. I don't want to be killed. Okay? Well, Jesus had the same thing. Peter had the same thing. Paul had the same thing. But they had to overcome it to the point that they were willing to say this, or, as we might say, not deny it. Okay? So everyone who acknowledges me before men, you understand that? Before men? It's not something you do in secret. Okay? It's something before men. Everyone acknowledges me before men, I will acknowledge before my Father in heaven, who is in heaven, but whoever denies me before men, I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. I don't know what your picture of the judgment day is. Mine is this golden city down in a valley, and there's this line of us waiting in this little thing going around, and there's Peter standing by the gate, and he's got a little table, and he's got this big book, and he's going, Carol? Okay, yeah, she's in the book. Okay. Well, I think it's more like this. I think it's more like Jesus saying, Lord, let him in. Let Carol in. She's my friend. Okay. But you don't want to get on the last side of this. You don't want Jesus saying, not my friend. Okay, not my friend. Paul wrote this to Timothy. He says, this is a trustworthy saying, for if we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. The denial will not become because Jesus has broken a promise. The denial will not come because Jesus has broken faith with us. It will come because we have broken faith with him. Nevertheless, John writes, many of the authorities, these are the Jewish leaders while Christ was still alive, many of the authorities believed in him. And that is that terrible, terrible word, but for fear of the Pharisees, they did not confess it, so that they would not be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the glory that comes from man more than the glory that comes from God. Okay. You see the decision we all have to make as Christians. Okay. To live this life of confessing. To live this life of being ready to confess. To live this life of, as the great song said, I'm not ashamed to own my Lord. Okay. We need to be ready for that so that we don't end up like this. Because guess what? In the judgment day, in my picture of the judgment day, the glory of God is inside the city with the pearly gates. And we don't want to be people that didn't love that. We love what is now gone, what isn't real anymore. What shall I render for the Lord, to the Lord, for all his benefits to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. Confession is gratitude. Okay? Confession is being thankful for what has been done for us. Can you imagine a person who, after they were raised by a mother and a father, stood up and says, not my parents. I disown them. We see this, don't we? Okay? We see families broken apart by these kind of things, and we see how bad it is. Okay, for this bond to be broken. Well, confession cements that bond. It cements that bond between us and our Savior Jesus. For all people walk each in the name of his God. This is the other people. This is the other people Micah is talking about. But we will walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever. So if there was one thing I would call on you today, try to fit in with that last sentence. Try to figure out how in your job and in your life and in the future, which we're not even sure how it's going to be. Okay, but we can kind of read the tea leaves, can't we? You know, we can be wise about what's coming. Figure out how you're going to walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever. In other words, for all your life. Because if you do it for all your life, you do it forever and ever.